It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Another edition of WFO Radio is on the air. Greetings to drag racing fans around the world. Thank you so much for logging on, checking out the show. We've got a great show for you. We've got NHRA's Alan Reinhart on location somewhere in the world. That's right. We're going to find out just seconds from now. Stick around for that. And it's not just Alan. It's Alan's today as Alan Pruszynski, NHRA Camping World Pro Stock Series driver, the last Dodge driver, is going to be joining us to tell us about some big news for his season here in NHRA 2022. If you're new to the show, if this is the first time you're seeing WFO Radio, well, welcome to you. We're available on YouTube and all the social media, of course, WFOradio.com. And we ask you to check out the show, share the show. And it's the kind of thing that we do a couple of times a week, including later on this week, where we will be joined by Super Stock and Factory Stock Showdown father and son co-champions Greg and Aaron Stanfield. What is it? 12 noon Wednesday, we're going to have the Stanfields on, father and son champions. And then on Thursday, we're going back into the pro stock world, 11 a.m. with Camry Caruso. She's going to be out there, the only lady racer that isn't Erica Enders out there in pro stock. It is going to be great. Before we do all that, though, I want to shout out to the sponsors, the people who make it possible for me to go WFO multiple times each week and connect with drag racing fans around the world, especially our great fans down there in Australia who are they're coming off their first big national event win. But first up, talking about Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, new episodes of the podcast that we create for them called Hidden Horsepower getting ready to drop. And it's all an exercise to let you know that Total Seal fits the rings that unlock that hidden horsepower inside your engine. Whether you've broken a ring and you only need one, you can go to the website and order up just like that. Or if you need some of those super thin rings that are making big horsepower that they're using in pro stock right now and in the Cup Series, by all means, go to TotalSeal.com and tell them you heard about it on WFO Radio. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. This is a goal of mine for 2022, to get you to drive a dragster and become hopelessly addicted to drag racing like the rest of us. You are going to love it, driving a dragster, making a bunch of runs, hanging out with Frank. They travel around the country. Go to their website, frankhawley.com. Samtech.edu, this is more of a longer-term thing. Your education for the future, for the relatively young people out there. They're approved to train veterans under the GI Bill as well. We've got block, head, CNC programs, motorsport, EFI tuning. Think of all the people that will be programming CNC machines around the country, around the world. Some of them will be Samtech educated. Give them a call. Go to the website. Call Brian Massengill. Get him on the horn. Brian Massengill at samtech.edu. And thanks to those guys for supporting WFO Radio. And I am happy to say that we are directing people their way. And then there's Marvin Rodak, who's just selling coffee, guys. Coffee, hot sauce, spice rub. It's gourmet stuff. It's next level stuff. If you haven't tried Rodak's, you haven't really experienced coffee, certainly the way I have. 817-924-6821. That's Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Shout out to the Patreons, the Patreon membership. It's a VIP listener club. They get special and unique content. They get to participate with the Ignition Show. They get special shows like Monday Motivation. They are in the know on many things. Patreon.com/WFO Radio. Become a member at the start of the season and get all your WFO swag. Patreon.com/WFO Radio. All right, let's go out to somewhere in America. The voice of the NHRA is increasing his knowledge base. He is somewhere. Mr. Alan Reinhart. He's in a car. What's so special about that?
Could be anywhere.
Could be anywhere. Let's use our senses to try to determine where you might be.
Okay, let's see. Let's hear. I'll help you.
Okay.
Wait, 1 second.
You drove there.
I drove there, yes. I'm in my car, so.
He's in his own personal car, which is rare.
Once again, I'm never insulting your intelligence and
intention. I'm never
trying to tell you you're wrong or right. Of course, we start this. There's one car on the track. Like,
yeah, well,
3 minutes ago, there was 8 cars on the track.
You are.
Don't worry, he'll be back in about 26 and a half seconds.
The next gen NASCAR Cup Series test. We got
I had visions of doing this from like on top of one of the haulers or in the fan zone or someplace where, you know, I could go look behind me and go, hey, isn't this awesome? But it's just too loud everywhere, especially when there's multiple cars on a racetrack. That's one thing. The first thing you learn about this new gen car, it's loud, louder than the past generation.
And, why is that? I mean, if you know.
The exhaust is shorter. They used to have, by mandate, the exhaust would come out of the right side, both tubes back, basically just in front of the tire on the right side of the car. When they did this new car, they had the exhaust coming down both sides. It was still going out to the back. But because of the car has a floor pan and because of the way it's insulated and everything, it just made it so hot inside the car that one of the changes that they've made is the exhaust comes out now basically a foot or a foot and a half behind the front wheels. So the headers are 3 feet shorter or 4 feet shorter, and it makes the cars considerably louder. But I just came it's interesting to me. 7 minutes, for those of you that are wondering, 7 minutes from when I walked into the paddock area here at Phoenix International Raceway, and somebody said, hey, Reinhardt, you're at the wrong racetrack. But, you know, the number of people that are here that I know, and what I've told them all is basically, you know, I am a student of the game, and I have a lot of friends that make their living on this side of the fence, both, you know, in the garage and in the broadcasting side of it and everything else. And I just wanted to learn. I know nothing about the new car, basically, like everybody else. And I at least knew enough about the last car that I could get an argument. I don't know anything about this one, so I came up to learn. And so far, it's been quite the educational experience, and I've got a couple more days to add it. So,
well, that's great, and I'm excited for you, and I plan to ask you many, many questions about what you learn. I'm excited about this new car. I feel like it's a step forward in technology for the NASCAR Cup Series, and so we'll talk about that soon. But we're going to be joined by a guest right now. You know, you were not at the LA Coliseum. That's a good guess, though, Mitchell, that he's out there at the LA Coliseum, like with the
they're not running there yet.
Not yet. But boy, now that you've said that they're super loud, I wonder how that's going to go over. But it's going to be a lot of fun. But it's great to hear some racing. But let's bring on our guest, another Alan. And since Alan is very knowledgeable in the pro stock world, this is going to be great because we have got Alan Przinski, who is joining us now. Alan is going to tell us some things about the season upcoming and some big news. Let's let him, which is leaked out on the internet already, but Alan Przinski going to talk about his season. First of all, Alan, AP, welcome to the show, and Reinhardt will just be Reinhardt for the rest of the show. Okay, Reinhardt?
Yeah, I'm always Reinhardt.
He's always Reinhardt, but Alan Przinski, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I am great. So we're bringing it on to talk about your 2022 season, which is kind of starting off with some big news. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we got Alex Laughlin driving our second car to start the season off. I'm hoping for, you know, just getting some really good data with the car and not you know, last year we struggled a little bit with the second car. It actually, I felt, brought us to hurt us a little bit. And now, hopefully, with Alex driving a car, getting some good feedback, we'll really get some data that actually helped the whole team, not just one car. We look for both cars to run well.
You are using this opportunity. And so of gathering from what I already read, that you reached out to Alex and said, like, hey, man, you want to drive this car? And that way, at least you can get the two cars similar. Elaborate a little bit on how it came together.
See, it was pretty easy. I mean, I just said, you know, me and Kenny Delco talk, obviously, we're good buddies. And I said, I don't know, it's either sell this car or figure out how to make it help us. You know, what is it? It's a tool, right? So sell it and get the cash from it. Or if we can get a good driver in it who is willing to help the team a little bit financially with their sponsors, that's what we're looking for. Anything to help us. We're thinking out of the box, whatever we can do to keep going, right? Like I was telling you guys before the show started, I didn't plan on being a pro stock veteran. I guess I am now 8 years in. I got to figure out how to sustain the cost. You know, every year, you know, it gets more and more expensive, tougher. Me and my wife are footing 95% of the bill through the 7 years. And it's, you know, so we're using the second car maybe for somebody to come along. We've spent all the money to get to this point. Wherever we are, whether we're good or bad, this is where we're at. Can we get further along and turn it into a program that somebody can say, hey, they're not going to win a championship this year, but maybe they can steal a couple races. I haven't been able to do that in 8 years. Am I getting closer and closer every year? I think I am, but it's a difficult sport. You're up against monster teams with great talent, great drivers, and you know, you're fighting the battle that is very difficult to win without money, without people to help. We got great people, but you know, we don't have, I don't want to complain that we don't have this or we don't have that, but I got to figure out a different approach. 7 years shows us that we haven't won yet. We made some decent runs, maybe opened up an eye here and there, but we're not good enough. We need to get better. So Alex driving the first two races is a good idea, maybe, or maybe it crashes and burns. We're going to find out. And then maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it even makes me even slower where, you know, obviously I don't want to go backwards. So we have a good driver to announce for Gainesville. So that's how we're approaching the season right now. Everything changes day to day with me. I'm, you know, if anybody knows me, I'm definitely, I don't write things down on pen and paper and stick to it too often. So
Reinhardt, we'll jump in here with a question.
So Alan, it sounds like if somebody later in the season, a driver comes to you, has a license, has some experience and has some financial help, would the car be available for somebody else to run one race, two races? Somebody wants to run their home race. A guy comes to you with experience driving and has some cash. Would that car be available?
Absolutely. We got Richard Prizer. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. His license, he's a comp guy. You know, that might turn into something down the road with either me or Kenny Delco. So we're doing everything we can to sustain. You know, we don't want to quit now. You know, so whatever it takes, yes. A driver in a second car, I think, is the best. We get the data. He has a sponsor. You know, we're not looking for millions. We're just looking to continue. To find a sponsor just to cut you a check for $200, $300, whatever it may be, is difficult. You know, nobody can do that today. So I guess maybe people can do it, obviously, but, you know, it hasn't happened for me. So I think the second car is my best chance to continue.
So the second half of last year. Okay. And so you're laying it out there and you went down the road of bringing the second car and giving young drivers or new drivers the experience of pro stock to get their feet wet. And I think that is great, but watching it happen and knowing that you've got a limited workforce out there, it seemed like it was a great challenge, but the last couple of races of the year, maybe the last four or so, it seemed like you found something, like the performances, the cars. I remember Reinhardt talking about it, I think, at the finals, that the car had really moved in the right direction. Can you share, you know, what you guys did or something that maybe worked that made you feel optimistic about the direction you were going?
Well, I think it started 2020 at Indy. The third qualifying session, we're the eighth pair out. We felt like we turned the corner there. Didn't really happen too much after that, but I'm like, okay, if I go on the off season, do some work, make a couple more horsepower, we're going to be pretty good. Well, I come out and it was atrocious. I mean, I don't really know what it was. We changed so much stuff. It took all the way to Topeka to get the thing to go. And I can remember Alan announcing, Alan's got to be pretty close to perfect here to get in Q3. We were 600s out of qualifying and we hit it and it goes and we get it in. And it wasn't like we crushed it, but we're like, okay, that's pretty good. And then we fall back. Dallas again, we get going again. I really never got a handle on what it was, but we showed up in Vegas and I'm like, you know what? I got nothing to lose here. I'm going to put all the things I think it needs, go out there in Q1, and we run really good. If I would have hit it good there, I think I could have qualified fifth or sixth. Fall back again. Pomona again. Like, so it's a struggle to get it. I think I got my handle on it. I go to Florida and test right out of the trailer. We go as fast as we've ever gone right out of the gate. Like we know how to do it now. But, you know, to say we're going to go to Pomona and do it, I mean, it's in my head that we're going to, but it's a struggle because we're such a small team. We can't go test every week. And, you know, we got an older car with some worn out pieces and we're trying to address each piece as it's necessary. But, you know, we don't have just to throw endless amount of money and we run, make a bad pass. We just throw everything at it. We got to do it simultaneously, you know, strategically, how, you know, I'm not a great pronouncer, but, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but as the year went on, the bugs went away, the misfires went away. So we changed a lot of wiring in the car, and you know, hopefully it's behind us, because I don't want to start the year off again like we did last year. It was horrendous.
Yeah, but those things are definitely finicky, no doubt about it. And there's really no substitute for getting out there and making runs. And I think that's part of why when we get into the busy pro stocks time of the year, that your performance picks up, simply because everybody's getting used to making runs and doing and getting into routine. Whereas, you know, guys like Elite, guys like KB are constantly out there testing and making all those runs. And it's just very difficult to keep up with those guys if you don't have the resources to go out and do that yourself. But once you get into the rhythm of every week or every other week and going out and making runs, then your performance certainly steps up. And I think that's the key, is just getting out there and doing it. That's where the second car is going to help.
Well, hopefully the second car. We do have four engines that are identical now, where we didn't have that before for the second car. It's still hard to get these parts for, you know, with all the circumstance we have in this world, it's hard to get pistons and valves and valve springs. It's hard to run two cars. You just need to have enough stuff on the shelf that hopefully you can get through the whole season. And, you know, we just ordered valves now. We didn't really, you know, we weren't sure how many to order. And now we got to wait for them. It's a lot of behind the scenes stuff. When somebody looks from the outside and says, oh, the Dodge can't run. Well, it's hard to get all the parts that you need to show off that it can, because there's no doubt it can. If I can get it to run this fast, if one of the big teams stepped up and said, hey, we're going to really put our efforts in this, there's no doubt. It's just, you know, does somebody want to do it? You know, that's, I want to do it because I'm a Dodge guy. You know, who knows what the next person wants to do.
Well, I love the fact that you're sticking it out. And judging by the comments in the comment section, people love that too. Like, you're giving the Dodge fans someone to root for. And you believe that you can run fast, and you've shown that there are times. But what is that relationship like? Like, parts, pieces, are you dealing with, and maybe, you know, I'm sure Alan knows this too, Reinhardt, that are you dealing with an ever dwindling number of blocks and heads that are no longer going to be available, or can you still get everything that you need, Alan?
We can get everything that we need except blocks. I was allocated two blocks, and then they lost them, you know, typical fashion, right? So luckily, I mean, that's terrible, but I mean, I do everything I can to run this thing, you know, and show it off as it's decent. You know, as the year's gone on, I hope that I've made improvements. But as of right now, I'm okay. But, you know, I don't know what 2 or 3 years down the road. Really, the only difficult piece that I can see that we would have a problem is blocks. I do have a good amount of them, but, you know, what I have today is what I'm going to have next year and a year after, it seems, because, you know, whether Chrysler cares or doesn't care, they haven't contacted me anyway. So
now, are there any of those laying around any place? I mean, does Richard Freeman still have some in his shop, or anybody else that was doing the Dodge stuff before?
My stuff's a little bit different. So I got everyone that I can get my hands on. Actually, KB, who, you know, we race against, is finishing up the last brand new block I have right as we speak. So I know there's probably a few sitting in a warehouse someplace. I guess I'll have to go to warehouse once I run out of block. So, but that's really the only, and I have seven, so it's not like I only have two or three. So I got seven blocks, but you can blow up seven motors real quick in a pro stock deal and have nothing tomorrow. And that's a tough thing too. I got all my investment into something that I don't know if I have parts and pieces for 2023 and 24.
Yeah, but you said you've been doing this, your original plan, and we had like a little mini conversation right before the show started, guys, and so some things we were referencing came from that, but Alan's plan was to run what, five races, Alan? You're going to run five races or seven races, and now you've been out here for several years, you've been over 130 races, and people love your grit and determination. They love that. Like, people out there are saying, like, Art is out there. He says, you know, this man tells it likes it like it is, big money. Hardly anybody ever talks about that. You have a fan base, people who appreciate what you're doing, but do you need more help? Would you like you know, crew members? Would you like, I mean, is it just as simple as his money, a good, reliable second car that can give you real data? You've already acknowledged with Alex Laughlin, but what else for the people out there would be helpful to you?
You know, it all comes from money, right? So we budget the, well, me and my wife, Christine, who is there every race with me, you know, working on the car, taking tires off. And it, this isn't her dream. This is my dream, but she's there for me. But it all comes back to, you know, and I don't want to get on here and just say, I need money, send me a check. That's not, I always said one thing since I started this. My wife would say, oh, you know, this one gets a sponsor, or this guy would say, oh, that you could do that. Well, if you win, they will come to you. And that's been my motto. So I haven't won. You know, I've won in every class I've ever raced. If I pulled into lanes, I was going to win. I was going to win that race. I had a good chance. Well, I show up in pro stock, and I've been getting my butt whipped for 7 years. Crashed, almost, you know, whatever, got hurt real bad in that accident. I've been getting my butt kicked. So, you know, everybody wants to blame it on Dodge, blame it on this, why you don't have a sponsor. But you go out there and win, you know, things come to you. So that's been my goal since I started. I just work every day to say, okay, how do I win? That's, so the sponsor thing would be great. You know, we've had good people to help us. Have we had that big sponsor to cut us a $1 million check? No, but not that many people are going to get that anyway. So if we go out there and win, everything will fall in place. And that's how I treat it.
Yeah, and you actually mentioned when we went on the air, you've had the e-car mover folks large on the side of the car for a number of the races the last couple of years, but that was a deal where you were really making that deal look better than it was, or bigger than it was, right? That they were certainly helping, but
absolutely
they were not helping. John, they were not footing the bill for the season.
No, absolutely not. John did everything he could, and he's still one of my best friends. So, but in the end, he was the first guy to reach out to me. Kind of soft spot in my heart, right? You're just an everyday racer. You don't even realize you're racing pro stock. I'm just enjoying it. And some guy reaches out to me and says, hey, man, you're doing a great job. You're building your own engines, different than everybody else. You're doing it the right way. How can I help? And I said, well, just like I had this conversation, money is what we need, you know? So he sends me a check. Whatever that amount was, it was everything that he could come up with to put on the side of that car. And I thought that was just the coolest thing. It was kind of like when I sold my first t-shirt and seen it in the pits, you know, I'm like, I'm just like a bracket racer. Like somebody wants to wear my shirt. That's pretty cool. You know, meanwhile, my wife paid that guy to wear the shirt past me. it was a joke, but you know, I thought it was still cool either way, but whatever. So John has been great. But in the end, we got to try something different. John has something going on in his company, E-Car Movers, buying a piece of property. And I said, let's try something different. Let's run the car. Like, we need a sponsor now, like, to continue on. Let's try that route. So he's still on board with it. And we're just going to try this. We're going to run the car as a unsponsored car out there. And maybe, you know, we find a partner that didn't think we needed a partner, you know, and wants to join the ride with us.
Well, there's one thing I can tell you, because I spent a little bit of time in the world. The Mopar fans are rabid. So if somebody wanted to come up and give you a little financial help, they're going to instantly connect with a big group of people, because those who root for the Dodge will never root for anything that's not a Dodge. And they're naturally now are your fans.
Yeah, I kind of, like I said, it's kind of scary when I'm the last one, when you have Darrell, Alderman, Alan, John, all these guys that I'm their last hope. But, you know, I am, and this is it, you know, so we're trying to get somebody marketable in a second car, but, you know, not that many people are willing to pay the amount that it, you know, to run it properly. So it'll, you know, it's a sad thing in racing. It all comes down to money. So you have time to work on the engine, or do you have time on the phone to call companies and try to dig up money? It all comes down to time, you know, how many hours can you stay awake?
Right. Right. Which isn't a good thing either, right? To you know, sleep deprivation.
No.
One of your seven blocks, it's let's not talk about the, you know, let's, you can look at anything in a couple of ways. And I don't know, man, there's a lot of bracket racers out there that have had the dreams of running pro stock that never got even remotely as close or as far as you have. and the accomplishments that you've had in the sport, you're now pretty much accepted and respected by your peers. Everybody knows that you're gutting it out. You got your whole family involved. Like, you've come a long way to get to this part.
Yeah, it's been a lot of sacrifice by my father, my wife, my daughter, everybody. We've all sacrificed to do this. We all love it. My wife will say she doesn't, but I know she does. You got to have your to do it the way I do it. You got to have your family on board. You can't. So, like I said, I'm 100% back. And then, you know, a young kid showed up at my shop 2 years ago, John Olson, who just, you know, he put away his good, you know, he's a good bracket racer. He put his racing career or whatever it is on hold to come out racing with me. So I haven't begged anybody. People have come along, you know, pretty easily to enjoy the whole thing. Everybody that shows up at the track pays their own way, helps me, you know, no crew members are paid. It's been a great friendship between so many people to get to this point. So it's not just me and my work ethic or anything like that. It takes a lot of people to help you along the way. You know, so I don't know how to end that, but that's kind of how it's happened. And it's pretty cool when you make a good run and another crew chief from another team comes over and congratulates you. You're like, that's who I care about. You know, that, you know, I'm impressing them guys. That's who, you know, that's what makes me feel good after a good run.
I think it's great. I think I'm excited for you, and I hope this works out. You know, people are asking now, you guys go back and watch the beginning of the interview. Alan explained exactly how Alex Laughlin came on board. But that's the first two races, so Pomona and Phoenix. You going to get any testing in prior to those races?
So we tested in Florida with really, really unbelievable results. So, like I said, I'm not like last year. So I'm going to come out kicking the door down, and it didn't happen. So I don't want to do that again. But we're really happy the way things went in Florida. We're going to test in Phoenix again. Alex wants to make a few runs in his car to get that, you know, so he's not just jumping in, you know, to the sharks, I guess you would say. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, Alex is going to race Top Fuel, but maybe if I give him my mindset is if I give him a good product and he doesn't have a Top Fuel ride for a certain race, he can come back and be able to jump right in. And his marketing ability is, you know, I mean, we don't even have to talk about that. And I generally like Alex. He's always been nice to me since we started. We actually came into this together the same year. And, you know, I'm thrilled to have him drive my car. That's pretty cool that he would be, you know, with all his success, that he would be willing to drive my car. So that's pretty cool.
U.S. Nationals winner. Guy's been 300 miles an hour. He's got a bunch of great stats. He wins in everything. He at very least can give you great data, right? Like, he should be able to tell you what he thinks of the way the car is running. Pull the lever.
Yeah. So I think I don't know how it's going to end up. I mean, the conversation might be totally different after Phoenix, but I'm excited to see how it all plays out. You know, I'm willing to take the chance. I mean, it could, like I said, it could crash and burn. We could blow up every motor we have, and we could be pushing the car to the finish line. Yeah, maybe that happens, or maybe it
don't
doesn't.
Do that. Yeah, that never works.
Typical Jersey guy, right? Yep. He sees the negative. There it is.
Yeah, it could turn out. It, you know, you don't know. So we're going to try it, and we're just going to try different things because what's, you know, we've gotten a little further along here the past couple of years, and let's continue on and you know, but like I said, I need some help one way or another, but you know me, I'll end up at the racetrack anyway.
Well, that is great news. And hey, I just want to say before we let you go, I thought you did a great job with this Halloween, you know, even that you are strapped for manpower and time. You guys did go out there and kind of steal the show a few times. And the Halloween race is great. You guys did a great job with the whole family.
So I can't take any credit for this. You have to, Christine, 100%. She put her effort into it, and then I crashed the car. We were going to do that the year I crashed. Then COVID kicked in. We didn't do it again. So she had this stuff in our basement for 3 years or 2 years, whatever you want to say. And my wife, she can win a Wally easy like she did. She wins the Wally before me. I never win one in my life. She wins one before me. So funny quick story. I know you guys got to get going. They put the Wally on my car. My wife is like great for finding things on the internet that look like they're supposed to, but they're not really. I think this thing is a fake Wally. I'm like, I tell John, she puts it on the roof, and I tell John, my crew guy, Olson, I say, get that effing thing off my roof. It's bad karma. They're all like looking at me like, why are you being a jerk? I said, and then later they again take a picture with the thing. And I'm like, I do not want this Wally on my car or anywhere near, because I think it's a fake one off the internet. They're like, why are you being a jerk? I'm like, because it's a fake Wally and I don't want it. They're like, you want it. And I'm like, oh God, I just F-bombed my wife like five times. She put all this effort into this thing. And I'm telling her, get that thing. She's like, I won this thing. Now it's on our living room table or whatever. She's ordering five more. She's so happy. And I'm happy for her because she did all that all by herself, all them costumes. The problem was my daughter was supposed to be some character. I don't remember which was. But she had grown like a foot since, and she couldn't fit in it. She was so much taller. It looked like she was busting out like Hulk Hogan. But I mean, so we got somebody else to play that character, and she played somebody else. So that was the Halloween, but it was 100%. I have to give the everything. My wife earned that Wally for 3 years. She worked for that Wally.
So, well, I think
she cool. did an awesome job. No doubt about it.
It was yep. great. It was one of the greatest costumes ever. And I think, you know, maybe you put her behind the wheel of that second car and we could have like a husband wife team out there doing. All right. Maybe that's too far.
She's been asking me to drive this second car and do a burnout in it. Meanwhile, she hits every curb, like on the road. Like
there's no curbs on the track.
No, thank God. But I'm like, man, I don't know. But she's gonna end up talking me into her doing a burnout and staging that car before this is all over. I can promise you that.
I support it. I support it.
Thanks,
Alan Brzezinski, thank you very much for coming on WFO Radio. Everybody loves your demeanor, the straight talk, the underdog, the little guy going up against, you know, the elites and the KBs. And, you know, they're thinking about you, man. And we are thinking about you, too. Thanks for sharing on WFO. Alan Reinhart, you got a question? Final thought?
Just that we'll see you in Phoenix. I wish you the best of luck. And I look forward to seeing you in Phoenix. I'll stop by and say hi. I think Joe's going to be there also.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Alan. Take care. That was Alan Brzezinski with us here on WFO Radio. We're going to get into the news of the day. There's all kinds of stuff going on I want to talk about, Reinhart. But just talk about, you've worked in the pro stock world. You talk about that all the time. And it's brutal. And it's, I see what these guys are doing. And it's so hard and so challenging. And Alan Brzezinski, I'm amazed by how far he's come. Still got a long way to go. It's very challenging, but just give us some of your thoughts based on your experience in pro stock.
Well, it's very impressive what he's been able to do with the resources that he has to do it. And, you know, the reason for that is, you know, pro stock, there's so much stuff that happens in the shop. I remember one time, I believe Bob Glidden and Paul Smith were having a conversation, and it came up to, you know, the cost of racing. And Paul's deal is like, oh, come on, you know, run a pro stock car. What, do you change the oil in the thing? I mean, there's no maintenance. What do those things cost? $10 a run? And Glidden said, how much did you spend on pistons last year? And, you know, whatever the number was, this was years ago. And Paul Smith said, you know, oh, well, I spent, you know, $10,000 on pistons. And Bob said, I spent $25,000 on pistons that never left the shop, because we'd buy a set of pistons. We would machine them like we want them. We'd put everything together. We'd put the engine together. It would be down 7 horsepower. Well, we've got 8 ashtrays. Throw those away. Go get another box of pistons, and let's try to do something else. Because that's where all of the R&D is done. Not necessarily at the racetrack, but back in the shop trying to squeeze out those 2 or 3 more horsepower. So the performance that he's been able to put on the racetrack, when he's the only guy doing that now, right? I mean, the Chevy guys, not that Jason and Greg are going to tell you their secrets, not that Richard Freeman's going to tell you his secrets, but if you're trying to build big block Chevys or you're trying to build a DRCE and you get stuck, you could go to one of those guys and say, hey, how do you get past this hurdle? And you're going to at least get some information. You're going to have somebody you can talk to. If you're Alan right now, he doesn't have that luxury. If he gets stuck against something, he's got to figure it out for himself. And what he's been able to do is amazing. And I'm really grateful that he's still out there fighting the fight simply for all those diehard Mopar fans. When I was in that world, it's amazing how many fans are out there that literally the whole Mopar or no car is the way that they feel. You know, they will not root for anything that's not a Dodge. And the fact that he's still out there waving that flag keeps some of those fans interested in pro stock.
Absolutely. And I know that the corporate direction, Stellantis, all that, you know, But I would love to see someone give him some help, whether it be, you know, engineering or some parts or even someone who has worked with them in the past getting on board, because this guy is he's a lovable guy. He's the epitome of the American underdog. He is not taking no for an answer. He is forging ahead, you know, damn the torpedoes. And we love that. That's what we love. And I hope he gets some more help. And I think he will. And I'm happy that Alex Laughlin, a U.S. Nationals winner, a guy who's got a great name, he's won in everything. He's going to jump in the car. He's going to drive the car. And before going on a, you know, a 12-race tour with Scott Palmer's Top Fueler at some point during this season, he's going to get these pro stock races and just and be very helpful. And so I think it's great. It's a great program. And I'm excited that they've got it going on. Now, some other news I just wanted to throw out there. Gianna Salinas. Last week we had Matt Smith on. Talked about the big test that was going to happen this week. Yesterday, Gianna Salinas was testing. She has posted on her Facebook that she was involved in an incident on track and is, you know, got some road rash and some bruising, but no broken bones, that the fork of the bike was either cracked or broken. But great to hear that Gianna is okay once again after an on-track incident.
Well, she's tough. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. I had not heard about that. So, that's terrible news to hear. You know, if wrecking and testing is the worst, because you're testing, you know, you're not even out there to gain anything as far as a point standpoint, as far as a financial standpoint, you know, you're out there practicing. And so that's awful. It's awful that you hurt the equipment. Very grateful that she's okay. If she's just, you know, bumped and bruised and road rashed a little bit, but that lady is tough. And she probably, if it's anything like, I believe it's Chicago, right? When she came off the bike, if it's anything like that, she got up and was upset that her bike was hurt more than she was upset that she was hurt and couldn't wait to get back on it. You know, her sister's obviously made from exactly the same material, right? Have a scary on-track incident and is mad that my race car or my bike is tore up and looking forward to when can I get back behind the wheel again. So I'm sure they'll be ready to go by the time we get to Gainesville. I just want to wish her a speedy recovery.
Absolutely. And folks can go and follow along on social media to see the direct report from Gianna. We've got it up in our WFO radio group, our WFO group members. You guys do a great job of posting news and updates in that group. It's really great. You know, we don't have to break all the news, but we want to know about all the news, and it is great news. Speaking of news, when we parted ways last week, we had Justin Ashley on, and that was a big story, but then a couple of a little flurry of other things. And I don't know if we got to talk about like Terry McMillan and Dan Mercier, you know, Terry selling his operation to Dan, and he's going to run the car a few times, which I love that because it could always grow. It's his own stuff that he's been excited. Dan Mercier, who, you know, has been involved in A Fuel and got his big show license. Like, I think there's some big potential for that. And most importantly, it keeps another one of the beloved underdogs of NHRA, guy who finally made it and became a U.S. Nationals winner, Terry McMillan, back out on the racetrack for all his fans.
Yeah, that's certainly good news. I assume Rob Wendland is still involved with that. The last time that I spoke with Rob, he was in the shop at Terry McMillan's. When I'm in Indy, I always kind of swing by, you know, go down South Point Circle and Northfield Drive and just see who's doing what. And Rob is still working with him. So since none of the other teams have scooped him up, I hope that Rob's going to be involved in that. And that team, certainly by the time they hit the racetrack, they're going to be a threat right out of the box, even though they haven't been on track for a while. So, you know, definitely good news. Brittany Force just had an announcement that they re-upped with Monster and with Flavor Pack. So, you know, more good news in the Nitro ranks. And as far as I'm concerned, just keep it coming. There can't possibly be enough.
Buddy Hull buying the Wilkerson Top Fuel Dragster. You may recall they broke that thing out of St. Louis last year. And like that shows the commitment of Buddy, right? Who got together with Terry Haddock, spoke with him a couple of times last year. Like a great personality for the NHRA, but, you know, had a tough first year, did learn a lot, got a lot of experience working on the car and made the call, right? Like, what am I going to do? Am I going to go all in or am I going to back out? And he's making the call to go all in, bought a Top Fuel operation from Wilkerson, going to run 7 to 8 with Wilkerson, doing the crew, you know, side of it and crew chiefing and, you know, making the calls. But way to go, Buddy Hull, to become another one of those good quality part-time cars that, you know, anything is possible.
And a tip of the cap to Terry Haddock. You know, Terry's put together an operation that if somebody wants to come out, they want to get a license, they want to gain some experience, they want to see what this is all about. He has got an operation that'll let you do that. Are you going to go out and win the championship? No. But are you going to be able to run 3 second runs and run 300 miles an hour? Yes. And then, as Buddy decided, this is something I really want to do, makes a big financial commitment to go out and get even further involved. I think that's great. I think that also means that Terry's got an open seat in his top fueler for potentially the next person that is thinking, I always wanted to try that. Or is this really something I would enjoy? Or is this something I would like? Then now there's a seat that's opened up and potentially an opportunity for somebody else to make that next step.
Here's a question from some folks out there. Why is Austin Proc and Brittany Force using different chassis and engines? Brittany using Allen Johnson motor. Proc is using a JFR 500. Is that even still accurate?
I think that David uses some AJ pieces, but no, I think most of the stuff comes out of John Force's shop. When Allen was tuning Brittany's car, when she won the championship and when AJ was there, part of his deal is if you hire me, you're going to run my parts. And simply because everything's at least a little bit different. And if you're going to pay money for Allen Johnson to come in and run your car, you're not going to put handcuffs on him by telling him you're not allowed to run the stuff that you're familiar with.
Right.
So that's always been that. And I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that all of the stuff on there is now John Force's stuff. They had an inventory of AJ parts that obviously you're not going to throw them away. But I believe that both of those cars now are running mostly JFR stuff. Somebody also said something the other day about why one of them was running a Force car and I think Prox was listed as an American car. Well, John Force's machine shop is Force American made.
Yep.
So, you know, they're exactly the same chassis. They both come off the same jig. They both come out of the same building over there, that ginormous conglomeration that is JFR, where they have the capability of literally, like, you know, roll in a couple of dump trucks worth of raw material and we'll roll out a race car for you.
Well, and to everybody out there who scans the entry list, you'll find lots of little errors and mistakes if you scan entry list in the Lucas Oil Series as well. You got to remember, racers who do this on a regular basis, you know, they send in their entry and maybe they put something a little different this time than they did that time, or a keystroke or something isn't updated necessarily. So, you know, maybe don't read into every detail like that.
Yeah. And, you know, even on the DSR stuff, you know, I've seen... I come out of the Schumacher camp. Somebody will be driving a DSR car and somebody will be driving a Shoe car or a DSM car. They're all coming out of the same shop. It's all the same parts and pieces. It just, they tagged them with a different nickname.
Exactly. So our Australian drag racing friends got started this past weekend. Larry Dixon was down there. It was kind of cool. The live stream was on a little bit. I watched some of it. Our own Matt Clark, who runs Top Sportsman down there, got to the semifinals from Torque Calibrating Services. But kind of feels kind of good to see some drag racing starting up.
Yeah, it's certainly, you know, I think every year, once the Chili Bowl happens, then it's like, okay, racing season has officially started once the Chili Bowl is behind us. And that's where we're at now, you know, with NASCAR getting more and more involved in the testing stuff. And, you know, all the NHRA guys will be coming out here. JR was down in Florida basically for a photo shoot, but also made a couple of shakedown runs to put the new body through its paces. So looking forward to that being back on a racetrack. And, you know, I'm just right now counting to Phoenix, right? Like just tick, tick, tick. Let's go. I can't wait for Phoenix.
There you go. Phil Reed getting the win, by the way, in the hydraulic Jim Reed Racing machine. And, you know, great to see Larry out there in the Reposado Autosport. Hopefully Santo brings those teams back over to the States either this year or next year, as soon as they can get out of there, rightfully so. We'll see. Some other questions about Toyota and Pro Stock. And, you know, why won't Toyota get in Pro Stock? They're in the Nitro ranks. And all of those things, you know, TRD and the Gazoo Racing brand, which is going to be what we're seeing in NHRA. But I got to say, Alan, and this is just my opinion, but I think that's what Factory X is all about, right? Like there's very little chance of Toyota investing in a 500 cubic inch, you know, pushrod engine. But what's happening with Factory X, I think, makes it more possible. What do you think?
Well, that's certainly true, but remember, the way the rules are now, Toyota doesn't have to invest in a 500-inch pushrod engine. You know, Toyota didn't build a new engine to go nitro racing. If they wanted to put together a Pro Stock machine just to have that body style out there and have it showcased in Pro Stock, horsepower is not a problem because any available, any legal engine is allowed to run in any approved body. So they could certainly come up with the horsepower without too much effort if they wanted to do that. I know there had been some discussion about it. I don't know, you know, where that is right now. There have been a couple of times when it sounded like it was pretty inevitable, and then there was a couple of times when it sounded like it might never, ever happen. But I don't think it's been taken completely off the table. It might have been just kind of shoved to the back corner for now.
Yeah, well, exactly. And maybe that change will be what enables people to do it, or maybe not. But, you know, years ago, I wasn't sure about, you know, Toyota coming into motorsports, and their investment alone, I think, has shown where their heart is. They appreciate racing, right, of all kinds, and they've done a good deal. Alan, I know you want to get out to the test, so we're going to let you roll unless you have a final thought or two for the folks out there. I'm excited about what you're going to learn, right? The new car, the hubs, the sequential gear shifter, kind of more like a V8 supercar in Australia. I think they look great. They're very close, much closer to their factory counterparts, and getting closer and closer. Of course, the Rolex 24 coming this weekend, the 29th and 30th. You went to that race a couple of years ago as well, got an up-close appreciation. Yep. It's all getting busy. What's your final thought?
I just like things that are loud and fast. And, you know, the new cup cars are certainly both of those things. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back. And like I said, I got a couple more days here to see how much I can learn. And very fortunate to be able to come out here and do this. But, you know, NHRA has always been, you know, where my heart is. And I really can't wait to get back to that. On the other hand, you know, if the NHRA thing doesn't work out,
I always say that too, man. I've been blown out enough jobs that I worry.
My goal for this weekend when I leave the racetrack is to know enough about the new car that I can at least get in an argument about it. And, you know, I didn't when I got here, but it's definitely learning more and more. I tell you, from the weird things that, like, a mechanic notices, when a car's sitting on the jack stands and the rear wheels are cambered, that just looks weird.
Right.
Because, you know, it's always been the solid axle thing. And now with the independent suspension, when the car's up on the jack stands, both the rear wheels hang down. And to me, that's just like, okay, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember. But, you know, a lot of the features, some of the safety stuff and some of the things that are different on these cars are very, very interesting. And that's what I'm here to learn.
I think it's great. And I'm a believer in the evolution of technology. And I think that part of the race fans, and I don't know how many, but a good chunk are there to appreciate the evolution of engineering. And you talk to a lot of those folks in Nitro School, and those folks have been stagnant in, you know, NASCAR at very least. And now they're going to have a leap forward to a lot of newer technologies, not exactly cutting edge technology, but newer to them. And I think it's going to make for different racing. So I'm excited about it. Go learn some stuff, Alan. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to that, Joe. Take care, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
There he goes. Thank you very much, Alan. Appreciate you. Alan Reinhart with us here on WFO Radio, one of two Alans that joined us here on the show. And this is what WFO is all about. If you're a new listener, a first-time listener, if you're watching the show on YouTube and you're like, wow, man, this is it. We do this a couple of times a week, including tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern time. We're going to have two Stanfields, Greg and Aaron, father-son champions, Super Stock and Constant Aviation Factory Stock Showdown. They're both going to join us, and that's going to be cray. It's going to be interesting because, like, how are we going to have the two of them on one unit, like with the microphones and stuff? Is it going to be a total catastrophe, crash and burn, like Alan Przinsky said? Maybe. It could very well happen. And then Thursday, 11 a.m., this is one that I'm very excited about because Mark Caruso has always been, you know, super gracious and friendly and forthcoming, inviting me to go on their cool shows and Fireball Friday. And all. I had a good time with them. They helped the pandemic go by quicker. But to watch Camry Caruso make what I hope is the best racing decision of her life and get involved in NHRA Pro Stock and break the ice that has followed, you know, Erica Enders going into the sport. Like Erica, the lone lady racer out there in Pro Stock, and she goes on to become one of the greatest of all time and maybe the greatest pure driver of all time. And where are the other ladies at, right? And Camry Caruso is going to follow the road. And I'm super excited to speak with her. We'll be speaking with her 11 a.m. on Thursday. Now, look who's out there. Mark Caruso. What's up, Mark? But I'm genuinely excited. Like there's these moments that I think are elements that are going to grow the sport at a whole, at a larger level. And I think if Camry can get in there, Jim Yates is a crew chief, and get some round wins and get some people excited, that is only good for the sport of drag racing. And frankly, Mark, you've been out there running A-Fuel and you're running all kinds of stuff and you're working super hard and you're spending a bunch of money. Might as well do it on Fox Television Network and have Brian Lones and Tony Pedregon calling the names. And I'm excited to hear from Camry on Thursday at 11 a.m. Hopefully she knows. I think she does. Let's see. Kev says, hey, Joe, just packing to go to France with work. We'll catch up on the Apple podcast. What's up, you Kev? That's Kev from the UK, thus you Kev. He is one of our WFO Patreons. He is great. Lonnie says, thanks, Joe. You and Alan make Tuesday enjoyable. Thank you so much. Keep them coming. I appreciate you out there, guys. All right, let's put some comments in the comments section. And then I'll read your comments and then we'll get up on out of here. I thought it was a great job. Like Alan Przinski, what I really like, this is what I would do. And everybody has played these fantasy games, right? If I won the Powerball, the fantasy game, like if I won the Powerball fantasy game, like I can tell you Alan Przinski would get some money. If I won the Powerball, Alan Przinski would get some money, right? To go race, because the guy, he needs a little more help. And he needs a little more money. And I think he could go from where he's qualifying. He could jump up, you know, 4, 5, 6 positions on a consistent basis and have the Dodge fans rooting for him. It would be great. Hey, if you're out there, WFO Universe, I'm going to put the link to our merch store up in the chat section for you guys out there. If you haven't gotten your WFO gear for the start of the 2022 season, we've got all kinds of logo stuff and mugs and iPhone cases and all of it. It is up there. Masks, you know, maybe you're a Pro Stock World Champion. It's all up there in the merch store at WFOradio.com. And something else that I have decided to promote a lot more heavily on WFO Radio, I hope you will enjoy it, is our free, that's right, I said free, mobile application. I just put the link. We've got iPhone and we've got Android, Google Play. And here's the deal about the app, okay? You get push notifications, which I tell you who's going to be on, when they're going to be on, all of that stuff, number one. But also, you get access to the videos, you get access to the archive. And when we go live on YouTube, I can send that out to you as well. And you can just click on it and boom, you're watching on YouTube, just like that. And it's free. You know, there's going to be more content on there. Why not? We've just renewed the app for 2022. Check it out and download it. Monica says, get some WFO gear. Yeah. And we're, you know, we're going to be uploading new stuff there all the time throughout the season. And, you know, it's, they do all the work, baby. I love it. Thanks for the WFO stickers and patches, Joe. Great show, Ignition, says Scott Malpass, a Pickle Rick, who is a WFO Patreon. And the Patreons, guys. It's a secret society of WFO listeners. They listen to the show. They love the show so much. And it is growing and growing. It's its own VIP listener club, secret society, WFO Patreons. And I work extra hard to make sure that they keep sending their money. Patreon.com/WFO radio. You can join. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, one of our traditional sponsors. These guys have been around for 10 years. On WFO Radio, because we tell you how exciting their Dragster Adventure program is. And if you've never driven a dragster, if you've always been on the sidelines, if you've never driven a rear engine dragster, they can create that experience for a very, very low sum of money and very little overhead and sweat equity for you. Just show up. That's it. And you're driving a dragster and maybe even getting into a race. FrankHawley.com. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Start your education at full speed. What does it mean? It means our sport needs human power to make it go. As much as we talk about money and the cars and the equipment, we need smart, intelligent human beings who know what they're doing. Where do those people get their foundational education? Samtech is one of those places. If you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Samtech can get you on the road to that kind of life where you're working with cars, you're working in a machine shop. Certainly, I've learned a lot about that lifestyle through the Hidden Horsepower podcast. And every one of those dudes, they're all, at least they seem, happy to be out there working hard and controlling their own destiny. Samtech.edu. Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. We've got a great guest coming up this week. It's going to drop on Friday. Subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Dr. Neil Cantor, one of the world's most renowned tribologists, and he's going to talk about, you know, cutting fluids and how to maintain your machines and a whole host of different chemical reactions happening at the microscopic level that can improve. He and Lake Speed geek out. You are going to love it. TotalSeal.com. We're going to be doing more trackside tech talks, and I believe there will be a trackside tech talk at the Lucas Oil Winter National. Super excited about that. Thanks to Total Seal, and more to come from Total Seal. Stay tuned. And of course, Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, the gourmet coffee, the hot sauce, the spice rub. Marvin Rodak, who is down there in Fort Worth, Texas, living the dream, literally. Marvin Rodak, 817-924-6821. Call Marvin, order some coffee, order some grilling tools. That's where I got my, like the thermometer, you know, the meat probe. We probe it, you're probing it. 817-924-6821, Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. If you want to send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address on the screen, I got a couple of them right here. I'm waiting on stickers. We've redesigned our sticker. It's coming. Jeff Strickland is going to send them any day. Castello Media / WFO stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida 33084. That is for free WFO radio stickers. And let's see what everybody's got to say out there. Let's see what they've got to say. Not a lot of comments. Art. The old saying goes, it takes money to make money, and you have to get out there and show the people what you got. The people will take notice. I agree. And let's talk about it in context of Alan Pruszynski. He's showing up to the races, and he is dealing with the challenge that is pro stock. It is one of the most difficult challenges in auto racing in the world, and he's handling it pretty well. Maybe someone, but you know, this is not charity, right? But does everyone go out and win first before they bring on the big sponsor? The answer is no. In this sport, sometimes the big sponsor sees something in the little guy and gives him the opportunity. And then the little guy goes on to great things. And that big sponsor is remembered forever, because they did that. That is part of drag racing too. And I think that's what it's going to take for Alan Pruszynski. Someone with some coin to say, you know what? This guy's hard work and determination is what I want to be involved in. And he is a great example for people out there. And we're going to help him and allow him to show his value. And that's going to be our legacy, more so than, you know, clicks and impressions. And that's one reason why I don't love the new way of advertising, which it's all clicks and impressions, because they're so inhuman. That's not what it's all about. They're like, really, if you make one great impression that changes a life or lasts a lifetime, who's it with? It might be worth a million novice impressions. And so I think we're in a different spot. And I also think that's why auto racing, and in particular NHRA drag racing sponsorship, and even something like being involved with WFO radio, is so valuable, because there's the human side, the human touch, the trust, the understanding. Like, this guy is out there getting it done. He's a face-to-face, an endorsement, a trusted person for people to talk about a product. And I think Alan Pruszynski is going to get some good things going this year. Dragster Jeff says, Cool Kids Club talking about Patreons. Rick Salazar, 4 more Sundays. He's counting down the days. He is counting down the days. Lonnie says, kind of like Wendy's, then Castrol did with John Force and sponsorship deals. No sponsorship is going to last forever. It just doesn't, because nothing lasts forever. Like, someone told me one time, and I'm not a Buddhist by any means, but the Buddha said that nothing is permanent. And it's also true. Like, the earth is not permanent, and the sun is not permanent, and nothing is permanent. Certainly our little lives is not permanent. So you do the best job you can for the people who believe in you. You put 100% effort in, and you do it. And when that relationship ends, hopefully others will have taken note and a new relationship will begin. And that's what it's all about in the world of drag racing and in the world. And I think folks out there in motorsport understand it. Troy says, even cold November rain. Yes. Troy's excited about Bradenton, which has got the U.S. Street Nationals, presented by Diamond Pistons, by the way, going on over there across the state. I will not be there. I am not going to the U.S. Street Nationals presented by Diamond Pistons 4 hours away at Bradenton Motorsports Park. I am not going there because I will be going to Palm Beach International Raceway. I hope to be running the GTO. You know, I got tires. They're on their way. They're on order. It's a whole timing thing. They get in on Thursday. The appointment is Friday. I go racing on Saturday. Of course, I will try to video the whole thing. Hopefully, you've all watched Joe versus Pro on our YouTube channel, WFO Radio TV. If you have yet to subscribe to the YouTube channel, we ask you to do that now. Subscribe, click the bell, and share it and tell your friends, because the YouTube channel is a whole lot of fun. But I am going to go racing at Palm Beach, what might end up being the last drag race for me there. And I'm super sad that this could be the last time I race at Palm Beach International Raceway, all depending on their schedule and my schedule working out with the NHRA. Also here in South Florida this Sunday, there's something called Fast Expo. They do not pay me to advertise, but Erica Enders is going to be there. And Erica, there's going to be an Erica Enders South Florida appearance on Sunday down in the MIA. So if you're located in Miami and you want to go see Erica Enders, go see her down there. Do you think AJ finally get Doug a championship? Asks Austin. Yes, I do. Will it be this year? I can't be certain of that. Dethroning the Capco boys and Steve Torrence is going to be very, very hard. And that's the challenge. They're going to come in and AJ is going to set up his operation. And in the first year with Coletta Motorsports, they're going to dethrone the Capco team, who's won four consecutive. I don't know about that, but Alan Johnson, Doug Coletta, they are going to team up. And they are going to have great success. And I do not think that Doug Coletta is going to retire from NHRA drag racing without a Camping World Series Top Fuel World Championship. So there you go. My not so bold prediction, but I'm giving it to you. Art says, Joe, you are a great example on how to make it. I'm working on it, Art. Every day, get out there with the shovel and start digging. Sammy Eubanks. Hi, Joe. Are you coming to Arizona for testing? Am I coming to Arizona for testing? Yes, I am. I will be out there Thursday and Friday of the Arizona test, and then I'm going to book before they open it up to the public. That is my intention. Of course, they might not let me in there, right? Like, who knows? Trying to cover the sport of drag racing. But yes, Sammy, it is my intention to go out there and spend a little time in AZ in a couple of weeks and check out the testing, do some coverage for WFO, some live stuff behind the scenes. We'll see how it goes. But if you're going to be there, Sammy, let's hang out. Let's have a beer. Right? My keto experience will be over. No one has commented. Costello has obviously lost 8 pounds. It's very clear, right? The starvation diet. Sorry. Scott says, kind of looked like Lyle was getting Tony Wilson's old ride ready for Bradenton. Yeah, well, Scott does a great job of keeping me up to speed on everything that's going on. Lyle Barnett, man. He's going to be on WFO right before the Gator Nationals. That's the plan, the way he ended up last year. Really exciting stuff. All right, guys. Appreciate everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on WFO Radio. And remember, noon tomorrow, the Stanfields, Greg and Aaron. 11 a.m. Thursday, Camry Caruso. We are rocking and rolling at the start of the season. The YouTube channel, WFO Radio TV. We ask you to subscribe on the YouTube channel. Get some merch, get the mobile app, subscribe to the podcasts, and be ready. Bigger and better than ever. WFO. 2022. And to everybody who's been with us, you know, sometimes I get a little mushy on the show, but thank you for supporting this show for over 10 years. We've been working so hard to bring the world of NHRA drag racing and motorsports in general. Our Ignition show, which is audio only podcast, covers everything. We talked about the NFL, the four great games, how much fun, how exciting it was. I tweeted out my video of Casey Wolf, who came out to Topeka this past year. But we just want to give you guys entertainment, a great place. Oh, look who it is, man. It's Tricky Ricky. What's up, Ricky? Appreciate you. Had Matt on last week. He said that this might be the last ride for Ricky Smith. Why don't you come on and tell us about it next week or in the future? Ken Justice. See you here in Phoenix at the test session, Joe. Great podcast. Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it. Derek says, I have proof Facebook reply screenshot, Scott Palmer has said that he will be driving at Phoenix, Topeka, St. Louis, and some other events. He better. We love Scott Palmer. What's wrong with the NHRA? We don't have full-time Scott Palmer. I get it, though. I just want to see the Nitro Pro Mods, really. That's another thing that I wish for 2022. Scott Palmer and a 300-mile-per-hour Nitro Studebaker. It's going to happen. The fact that NHRA like basically created a rule for him to do that, awesome stuff. All right, guys, really appreciate all of you. Go back into the archive, find some stuff. Congratulations to Alex Laughlin. Good job getting on board with Alan Przinski. Christine Przinski, the real leader of the team, thank you for your efforts. And Alan, of course, and Alan Reinhart out there at the NASCAR test. Thanks, guys. See you next time. WFO.